And it's good to remember that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Have nothing to offer to a holy and a righteous God, let alone anyone else, without Jesus, without that shed blood at the cross, and of course the fact that He is risen, He is glorified and will be further glorified. What a Savior, what a God. We have His name to proclaim, not much else. And as Willie and I were sharing, really there's nothing that we have to offer unless it's out of this blessed book. And by the grace of God, we can do that. So let's pray. A gracious God, a living Father, we marvel as we consider your compassionate love and care for us. And it's amazing to us that you would have sent your Son. You gave Him heaven's best for such as we. But our God, we thank you that you did it. You did it all. Lord Jesus, you carried out the full will of your Father. And you continue to do that until you present the kingdom to Him, holding up and praising you. And so we come as beggars, as sinful ones, but redeemed ones. What an amazing truth. And we can say thank you because of a finished work. We have a relationship with you, our God, but it's only through Jesus. And Lord Jesus, it's in your name we ask your blessing as we're together. Amen. I'm not used to sitting down when I talk, but I'm going to try it here. And if you're not hearing me well, or if you think it's not picking up, why let me know. We have an amazing chapter here that I'm blessed to have a chance to speak on. In fact, when I first heard that this was the chapter I had this feeling of, you know, hooray, I'm so glad. I think this is a chapter I know a little bit about. Yes, I can do this. But boy, I've taken a trip in humility as I've gone through this chapter and through it again and through it again, and then check the Old Testament to see what the record is. And I shake my head and say, wait, these are human beings. They made mistakes. And God included them in this chapter, which is, we refer to it, we like it, the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. It has to do with who we have faith in, not in our faithfulness as such. But it's an amazing thing as we consider these who had so little to go on. You know, we have this book. We have fellow believers. We have the opportunity to share with one another. We learn from each other. And sometimes we have the privilege of saying, well, is that really so? Well, it says so right here. Yes, but we've got to get the balance. We get the balance and we see Jesus as God presented Him. We see the faithful as God saw them. He does not focus on their failures. There are people not included in this chapter, and I'd say, oh, why not? Why not? Well, this is God's record. Now you say, oh yes, an apostle wrote this. Yes, praise God. I personally think it was Paul, but that's one of those arguable things, and we Christians like to argue about things, which is sad. So it doesn't matter. It's the grace of God and the Spirit of God that has given us this set of wonderful memories of His faithful ones. Now, there's a few verses I'd like to read before we get to... I want to read a verse that Brother Ken shared with us starting last week that resonates with me, and it's in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, as I think Ken would probably let me know, he says, oh, you're reading from the NASB, aren't you? Well, yes, I am. I'm thankful that we do have a little bit of variety, but I grew up, as I've told you before, on wall-to-wall King James, and it's by the grace of God that I made it through the these and thous and saw Jesus as my Savior, and that changed my life. I was pretty young, so I hadn't had a chance to practice all the sins that I might have gotten to otherwise, but I found plenty since then. So it's the grace of God that has to act, and I have to give thanks through him to God the Father. He is the one, and it's about him. Now I want to turn to the passage in Hebrews, but there's two or three verses I want to also look at. The one that, this is a reread of the verses at the end of the chapter that both Dave and Ken brought before us in chapter 10. The latter part of it is sort of a preamble to what we have in chapter 11. So we'll read verses 35 through the end of that chapter. I better turn back. I almost started to read from the latter part of 11, and that wouldn't have fit very well. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. We could come up with maybe different words we'd like in there, but the fact is, there is a great acknowledgement of your faith. For you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet a very little while, and he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. It's only by grace through faith that we have the hope that we have in Jesus. It's the hope that we have in spite of knowing that we have sinned. We have sinned and we continue to sin. But by the grace of God, he has washed away our sins. What has washed away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It couldn't be done any other way. So with that, I also want to take a quick look at Romans 15. Just a verse out of Romans 15 that strikes me. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without that power, we don't have hope, but it's in Christ we do. Then James 4, verse 8. I'll try not to make this too much of an exercise of searching for passages, but without the scriptures, we don't have a connection with God. We don't have Jesus without the scriptures. So, in my shuffling time, I know that you've already got it. Some of you already know this verse. It's James 4. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What a challenge that is. And that's the kind of thing that these who are listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith found to be that which is worthwhile, drawing near to God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. We have good news. Rejoice always. And pray without ceasing. We need to pray. We need that communion with the Father. And we connect with Him through our Lord Jesus. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen to that. Now, what we have as we go through this is a reminder that the law sets a standard for righteousness, but faith brings us near to God without practicing that righteousness. Now, don't get me wrong, but as a brother Ken clearly enunciated last week, it's a finished work that the Lord Jesus did, and we're not coming to God on the basis of any works that we do, but we do come on the basis of Jesus' finished work at the cross, and we have confidence in Him. As we said, we Christians have great debates sometimes about, well, what does the Word say, and what does it say about, you fall back and you lose your salvation. No, that's not the intent at all. You can lose the joy of your salvation. You can be out of communion and fail to do the will of your Father. But He's the one who is faithful. He's done the work. He has declared us ready for the kingdom. Yes, we're in it already if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And then we're challenged to say, what are we doing of kingdom work? Are we doing that work which Jesus sent out His disciples to do, and we have the chance to learn of it and do this, do the practice of what it is to be workers in His vineyard, in His kingdom. And it may be small things. But now I better get on with some of the folks here that are included in this chapter. So, reading chapter 11, the first three verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. Scientists have figured all of this out, and the fact is that they come to the conclusion that says, we don't know, because they don't want to accept God's word for how things started. The creation account is incredible, and it's true. It is the faithfulness of God that's preserved it for us. And then I'm reminded of a little story that had to do with the arguments about creation and versus this thing of just happening, evolution, and what have you. And it's as though the intellect of man carries him up a mountain, and he struggles with this, and he struggles with that, and he finally comes to a conclusion that says, oh, this was made out of stuff we can't see. We don't know what God started with, but He started with Him. And the Spirit of God acted, and things happened, but not just happened. It was with a purpose. It was for reason. Well, anyway, the scientist clambered his way up that hill and said, this is wonderful stuff. It can't all be just this thing of evolution. And the child of God is suddenly seen, sitting there in the good of what this book says, and he says, you finally got here. That's good stuff. We know it's true. But you had to work your way through it, didn't you? You can't just believe. Well, faith, as we see here, is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. And men gave God approval of old. Now, if you went back and read the story there in Genesis, Exodus, through the Old Testament, and where the account of these worthies is, you would begin to wonder, well, now, how come they got away with this? Why did David get away with that? Why did Moses get away with what he did? It's the grace of God. He had a reason. And those reasons are, some of them are a mystery. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 29. I want to refer to that. In Deuteronomy 29, we get what I think I've led up to at this particular point. And if I just keep turning the right direction, I'll get there. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, talks about God's mysteries. I know that the Lord gave me just the fingers I need, but sometimes I fumble so badly. I wonder how come I don't do a better job. It's not God's fault, for sure. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. And I believe that the intent there is all the words of God, and also that he has opened up himself. He's opened the coffers to see a little bit more of what he was doing, but he didn't say why. He didn't tell us why certain ones are not mentioned here that should have been. I mean, my intelligence, not his. There were lots of faithful people in the Old Testament, but they aren't mentioned. And the ones that are is where we learn some lessons. Abel, verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And specifically, God told Cain that his blood spoke to him from the earth because he had murdered him. And Abel is seen here as the one who had some truth revealed to him. He wasn't the only one by any means who began to call on God or to search out God. We find that expression there in Genesis, but we won't turn to it. I'm too slow. But the fact is, this leads us to be worshipers. And for us, it's God in Christ has built us a worship center. He has built for us, not this building, by any means, or any other, no matter how great it may be. But we are to walk with God where we are. This body is a temple, as we find out later in the New Testament, and that the Spirit of God lives and abides in us, who are believers. We've got to let him work. Got to pay attention to what he has to say. And I'm thinking what Patty said about, no, actually it wasn't she, although that was a good one too, because the matter of writing things down so you are reminded of what he has done. And Doug saying that he just didn't want to sign up for that Bible study. But he was prompted to do so against his own will. Isn't that neat? God does these things by his Spirit. We can't claim to understand, but by his grace we know it. But let's move ahead. By faith Enoch, verse 4:5, was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, a little turn of the corner, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What an amazing thing for God to consider, such as I am, such as the human race, trophies of his grace. And it's his work, and it's through him that we have the comfort, the empowering to do anything that is pleasing to God and of his service. And he knows what counts in his kingdom. Maybe it's just the word spoken. Maybe it's a little tract given up. Maybe it's a life which is rejoicing in the face of hard times. As I think it was Jim Greetham a couple of months ago reminded us that if you're not having hard times, just wait, you will. And it's true, and we've experienced it, but we don't go through hard times or good times, but we don't go through them alone. Because by his grace, our God is the faithful one. He cares. He is there. Well, here we find this man, Enoch, who we don't know. He didn't have the book. All he had was a little bit that had been passed down to him. And he called on God. And what does it say? He walked with him. And then the fact is that he was not on earth because God took him. You know, we look forward to that. Just in the latter part of this 10th chapter, we get yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not delay. I believe that's talking about our Lord Jesus. I believe that's the hope that you and I have. It's not a happenstance. It's the fact that Jesus is gonna come real soon. Now you say, oh, but what about all these judgments? What about the tribulation? What about these other things? There's no timeline for Jesus' second coming as far as the rapture is concerned. There is timelines that we can see from Scripture, whether it's from Daniel or Zechariah or from Revelation or elsewhere, that there are time slots, time amounts that are identified. But there is not a time given for when we'll hear the shout, when Jesus will come, not to the earth, but above the earth, and he will catch away his own at the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them. Oh, we'll be past the clouds. We'll be in the presence of Jesus. And we'll acknowledge and know those who got there before we did. There's lots of those. Well, back to these faithful ones. We find that there's just very little mentioned about Enoch in the Old Testament, let alone here in the New. But then go on to that of Noah, and we get a whole lot about him because he built a boat. Big deal. Around here, folks build boats. I went to high school with a guy who ended up designing and building boats. And that's something you could see. I was involved in the building of some boats. But Mostly I dealt with airplanes and spacecraft, but I was involved with boats. I didn't even think about being like Moses. I mean, excuse me, I'm like Noah. Nope. We had water right up front of the building that we were working in. We knew we were going to be able to get that boat into the water. Water? Yeah, it's out there, but I live in a desert. God, I'm supposed to build a boat? What does it say here? It says that, got to get the page turned so I'm in the right chapter again. Starting verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, rain? What's that? You mean you're going to float my boat here? Things not yet seen in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That's awesome. Faith that God has spoken. So I spent 120 years building this sucker, and you know what? Nobody's going to think I got a brain in my head. Oh yeah, I'm following directions, but whose directions and how big? And what accommodations? What's going in here? Well, God will tell me. He told me to build it, so, and he did. He built it, and God sent. And so God judged all that were here in this world, not in Gig Harbor, but there where that occurred, but it had to do with what was all the world. And so Noah and his family survived. And so they lived happily ever after. No, I don't see that here. It didn't turn out that way. There are some negatives we could talk about. But we got this thing that God has said, he gets the credit for doing what God told him to do. What an amazing thing it is to be responsive to what God directs you to do, whether it's to do a Bible study, whether it's to make a list of his answers to prayer, or other things where we have those amazing mercies along the way. We've experienced a few in these past several months, especially in our family and lives. By the grace of God, we can persevere. Noah did it. And why? He did it because God told him to. Now, we don't have quite the same kind of challenge, but we do have the same kind of challenge as it relates to this thing of faith. You mean I accept something that I can't figure out myself? That's what faith is. But you've got to be careful as to what you have faith in. You know, we can have faith that these chairs are going to hold you up. We have faith that the sun that's shining there will show up again tomorrow, maybe through clouds. We also have faith that it's going to warm up pretty soon again here. We don't get winters in this part of the world. Oh yeah, sometimes. But what we get here is a reminder that it's God's faithfulness that is involved here, not just ours. But it's amazing. It's by faith. We'll just look at a few of these. By faith, we have the assurance. It's by faith we understand. It's by faith that Abel offered a good sacrifice. It's by faith that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Well, 300 plus. I think that there was in that, but maybe that was his total. Didn't matter. He was not, because God took him. You can look that up if you wish to, there in Genesis, first very few chapters. And by faith, Abraham, here we are, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. I've maybe sometimes gone someplace I didn't know where I was going because I was writing with somebody I trusted. But in this case, who's steering this total of folks headed out through the desert? God. He told him to go. And as he went along, how did he steer him around this rock and that little mountain and past the river? I don't know. But he did. And he went not knowing where he was going, but he was told he had an inheritance. Now stop a minute. You and I don't know exactly and how and where we're going, but we have the assurance that the one who leads us knows where we're going. He knows what we're going through, and he cares, and hasn't left us alone. Sometimes in this life, we won't know answers. Today, we accept, like by faith, that God is steering this life of ours. God is in charge, even of this world in which there's a lot of things going on today that are terrible things. Fellow believers are having their families murdered. They are facing the kind of thing that is talked about both in the Old but especially in the New Testament about in this world you shall have tribulation. And there will be persecution. We've been not experienced that yet, but we can't say we won't. But the one thing we can say is that we won't do it alone. In Jesus, by the grace of God, we can go through what he calls us to go through. He wants us to be faithful in what little he has given us to do. And we pray that that'll be the case. Anyway, more about Abraham. You can see why, perhaps. I don't know why we didn't get more about some of the earlier ones, but we can see that by faith Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in the foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Oh, wait. He didn't have them yet. It was later on. Later on. Fellow heirs of the same promise. That's the good thing. He was able to pass it on. And by the grace of God, you and I have been able to pass on to our children the amazing story of the grace of God. The facts that are contained in this book and the person of God's Son, Jesus, our Redeemer. And that's something we can count on God bringing with us when he calls us home. What an amazing thing to be able to take your children with you. Well, do we always have that? Do we have the assurance always? God knows who are his, those who are his. We sometimes don't see any fruit of our labors or in their lives. But it's by the grace of God that we continue. We continue to argue for and agree with what this book says about our God and about his Redeemer, our Redeemer, and about us and the fact that he's going to make us over, make us clean. We better move on. For he was looking, verse 10, he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Doesn't say anything about Jerusalem. Doesn't say anything about another place, really. It's looking for a city that has foundations, and as a matter of fact, we anticipate seeing that city. That city which is that which Abraham had good reason to look forward to. But not because of what he saw around him, but it was what he got from God's assurances. So that we find here that he believed God and it was counted to him, doesn't say it here, is another verse, but it was counted to him for righteousness. It's by grace through faith. It's saving faith. Now, we go on. Oh, there's some verses in Romans 4 that I wanted to take a quick look at. It's too good to not bring these in. And chapter 4 of Romans, verses 3 through 8. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. I referred to that before, but I'm glad that I jotted it down so I could read it for you or take us to there. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Who's ungodly? Yeah, my hand has to go up. His faith is credited for righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from work. Thinking back to what Ken talked about last week. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven or sent away, and those whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin God will not take into account. That's me. That's you if you trusted in the Lord Jesus. It's a done deal. It's not something yet to be accomplished. But we get the picture here as we think about Abraham and how things were with him. But then to move on, Sarah had a little different look on faith. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. We know that when she got the news about it, she giggled. Maybe she laughed out loud. But the Lord knew it and took her to task for it. But it didn't take, he didn't take away the promise. Isaac was born. There was born even of one, and he as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let me come to this 13th verse, which is kind of a nugget. All of these died in faith, and I'm not sure about the all these of the everyone, because that's in God's hands. But I know in this day and time, if I don't trust in the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I can't go. If I trust him, if I connect with him on the basis of his work, Jesus' work at the cross, then I'm there. But these didn't receive the promise. Abraham never saw a building. He didn't see anything built. He didn't build it himself. But he trusted. And the Jews continued to trust until the sent one of God, who was actually anticipated in Adam and Eve's time. She was looking for a man. And she thought that Seth was that man. He wasn't. Jesus was that man that was looked for. He was the Messiah. He is the one who is the Redeemer, the Friend. For those who say such things, make it clear they are seeking a country, not their own. We look forward to a country that isn't our own. It's not on this earth. It's with Christ in glory. We look forward to that. We have that hope. Is hope in you, Christ in glory, and we with him. It's yet a little while, just as we had that verse in chapter 10, and he that shall come will come. will not go beyond his appointed time. Has he tarried? Do we think he's waited too long? Sure seems like it. But the fact is, he's going to come right on time, God's time. And he's going to start the gears going, that will end up with him putting all in the Father's hands. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that I refer you to. It's about 50 or so. But it has to do with the Lord Jesus putting the entire universe under God's hands, under God's control. He deserves it. And the Lord Jesus, remember, he is God. Going on with they were seeking a country of their own, and it certainly wasn't in that wonderful country, that wonderful area of the Mideast. I'll go on. They thought it was going to be there, but it's bigger and better than that. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, Abraham could have gone back to Mesopotamia. But he didn't do that. They would have had a chance to go. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city. By faith, Abraham, this is verse 17, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Whoops! God told him to go kill his son. Told him where to do it. And he said, you're going to burn him there. You're going to do this my way. And Abraham, he argued and fussed. We have no record of that. He did it. He got up early in the morning the next day and went where God told him to go. What was his answer to his son? This is amazing. God shall provide a sacrifice. Was he going to see that sacrifice first? No. Was he going to understand what was going on? No. But he was going to do it. He had a purpose with the knife to kill his son. His son, which was probably old enough, he could have fought him. He was probably, would have been able to, but he probably climbed onto that rough altar to make it easy for his father. And it was only as he was ready to kill his son. In his mind, in his heart, he had done it. God gave him credit for that. He was stopped. God provided a substitute, provided that animal. But you know what? He provided a substitute for you and me. It was no animal. It was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his own son. And there was not a stopping of the death thrust. Jesus died. That's not the end of the story, which we all know of. Thank God for it. Be an awful thing if that's where it ended. But it's by the grace of God it goes on. Anyway, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 18, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. How can this be that he would call him to do it? He considered that God is able to raise Isaac, perhaps the general term of people, even from the dead, from which he also received him back in a figure, as in another translation. It's typically so. He received him back. And then, what did we get? Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Oops. Why do we get there? We got all of this about Abraham, and there's chapters about Abraham. Goes on from Genesis 11:26 through the 25th chapter, verse 19, if you want to read it. But here we are. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons, even regarding things to come. Even regarding this city which has foundations, the promise that God had given about this land that they were pilgrims in. What do we get? Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And if you know the story, which I think you do better than I, it was only through Jacob, the younger of the two, that all of this, these people, the progeny, the children were to come, that were included in this, in God's plan. So, doesn't take long to cover Isaac, does it? But you read the story and there's more to it, but we don't have time to go through that. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He had two, you know, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Jacob, it isn't talked about here. We don't get all the story about his badness. He blessed his sons, the sons of Joseph, in anticipation that they would carry forward the promise, the receiving of the promise that God had made to him, that had made to Abraham. So, by faith, Jacob, verse 21, as he was dying, he was old enough, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worship. And then, that's all we get in this chapter about him. Was he a good guy? Well, I copied down what somebody had to say about him. And if I can find it. He was a man who, his life was not an exhibition of a servant of God. It was an exhibition of a believer who went astray. We don't get that account here in our chapter in Hebrews. Went astray, whose whole life was spent in getting back. I think about myself and I ask the question, and I'm not asking this of you, am I acting like Jacob? Well, it's a good thing to act like him in faith. It's a bad thing to act like him in wandering off and doing things his own way. You know, I'm too much like a Jacob. He was a schemer. He was one who was able to work his way through things until he met God. And he struggled all night. Remember that account? He ended up being a cripple from then on. But it was from that point on that there was some of this getting back to. So that even though he messed up as a father, God was in charge. And it was he, not Joseph's brothers, that sent him to Egypt. It was God's plan. He had to build this nation somewhere. And he did it, of all places, in Egypt. They went in, just a handful, 70 or so, and they came out millions. And then that's more of another story. By faith, Joseph, verse 22. When he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. We're going back to that place that I left because I had to, because I'd been sold out of there. I want to go back, even if it's my bones that you take. And he did. By faith, Moses. We've got to get on here. By faith, Moses. Had a threefold victory. Let's read about it. When he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And there's a good challenge for us. What about the friends we choose? Are we choosing those friends which are an encouragement to us in the path of faith? Or are we hail fellows well met and just doing fun stuff? That's not the path of faith. Considering the reproach of Christ better riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And then, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they tried to, were drowned. And then the walls of Jericho. But Moses had a threefold victory here. One, he gets no credit for, because his parents were the ones who observed that it was a child that was special. How they understood that, I don't get from Scripture. I can speculate, but I don't have time to speculate. So, was given a victory over the world. He was brought into Pharaoh's very house as a son, because his daughter had taken this child for her own. But he couldn't stay there. He knew that he had to leave. Why? Because he couldn't stay and be part of the carnal condition of things there in Egypt. He left Egypt in his temptations. How did it all happen? Yeah, he killed a guy. And he had to run for his life. That's what I read in Exodus. And I know that's true. God gives credit where it's his, he pleases to do it. And that's true in my life and yours. He makes count what is important to him, and that's what he did. And he got victory over Egypt. In what way? After all of the challenges there with Pharaoh, they ran for their life? Well, not exactly. The real important thing is that they kept the Passover. God told them, I want to have a picture. He didn't say it this way, but he gave us a picture of the death of Jesus, his shed blood at Calvary, because they took a lamb, one for a family, they killed that lamb and put the blood on the two side posts Percy talked about this morning, and he didn't mention the lintel, but he meant it at the top. That was the blood that made the difference between life in that household and experiencing death. And it was in that Pharaoh's own son died, because he did not follow God's direction. There are some things that we must do. In that case, it was the blood. In your case and mine, it's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. That's exciting, isn't it? So, by faith Joseph, well, I'll get this. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, worship on his staff. We mentioned that before. Then Joseph says, take my bones with you. You may not take anybody else, but I want my bones to be buried there in the land of promise. And they were. So, verse 26, I read this, but I just want to do it for connection. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. where he was looking for a reward. You know, I think about Willie and Gretchen and their family going to and falling in love with the people there in Morocco, the reef. You go not because you have to necessarily, but you go there because the Lord is there. And the Lord has done a work. He's such a dynamic preacher. You know, it's amazing what he's done there. No. It's with his hands, with his feet. You know, that's the most important witness that you and I can have. How we act, what we do. And it's God who can get the glory. I'm out of time. So, they kept that first Passover, and that was the third of the victories of Moses. And then by faith, they went through the Red Sea, and 40 years later, plus, after the time of wandering, because they wouldn't go in to the promised land, they did. Finally, this is where the path of faith took. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been circled for 7 days. And here's a real enigma to me. By faith, Rahab. I'm going to worry about God forgiving me of my sins, past, present, and what's coming up. And I'm going to say there's a condition that has to do with my following rules or doing work. No, it's the blood of Jesus, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Rahab the harlot, by faith, she lied. She protected those two guys who went to Jericho to check it out. Why? She's given credit for faith, and as you follow forward, we read it in the New Testament, we see that she's in the lineage of who? Jesus. She was needed in that lineage. By the grace of God, he overcomes sometimes when we really have the wrong motives. I don't think she had the wrong motive necessarily, but we would sure agree that lying is not right. But from God's point of view, she, by faith, did that. How her heart had been touched, I don't know. But she accepted the God of Israel, accepted my God. She's there by faith. By faith, what more shall I say? Then we get Gideon, Barak, Samson, verse 32, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Why did we go through those so fast? There's quite a long story about most of these, especially David. Then we say, oh yeah, David, he did that really bad thing. He's included in the line of the Lord Jesus. He's not out of there, even though he sinned terribly. And if you want to read the story of his repentance, take a look at Psalms. I think it's 51. But the point here is to realize that it's by faith they conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, this is verse 33, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Isaiah, secular history, tells us that that's probably the death that Isaiah died. He was faithful to what God's message was, and he was hated for it. They were tempted, they were put to death with a sword, they went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts the mountains and caves and the holes of the ground. All these, having gained approval, is amazing. Approval through their faith, did not receive the promise. They didn't see the Messiah. They didn't get this amazing book. They were in the path of faith. By faith, as we got it here, I didn't count them up, but there's by faith mentioned about each of these. And they didn't see the Messiah. They didn't see Jesus. Because God had provided something better for a lot better people. No, it says for us. So that apart from us, they would not be made complete. The word perfect here, I like the word complete. The kingdom wasn't finished without us. And there's still no. Otherwise, we'd be gone, we who are trusting in Jesus. So, I've got to close off here and try to do this on the basis of what the Word of God has to say. I want to read the first two verses in the next chapter. I know I'm cheating going ahead, Jim, but it's it fits. It's like the last few verses of the previous chapter fits with the account of chapter 11. So we have 10 in that and here. Therefore, because of this hall of fame of the faithful, that God gives credit for those who have trusted in his Messiah, have trusted in God himself. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. I think that's unbelief. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're not in a marathon. It's longer than that for some of us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm tempted to read more, but I'm going to stop. We'll wait till next time. Two last verses, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with. You'd think that there's a college graduate who wrote this. I get blamed for having big words, but I learned them from Scripture, some of them. Anyway, into conformity with the body of his glory. Wow. By the exertion of the power that he is even to subject all things to himself. To our God be the glory, to praise and worship and thanksgiving to his Son, our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing chapter. There's a lot more here. But we pray that our hearts be stirred and encouraged, and to realize that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us. Your mercy has saved us. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lyle. If you have any offerings to give, then Don has the baskets there. And so let's let these brothers and sisters in chapter 12 be an example to us. And may the Lord help us to endure this week. And I want to encourage us to bear one another's burdens this week together, too. So the Lord bless you and see you next week.